And a good Saturday morning, and welcome into the opening day of the Louisiana statewide and the Alabama North Zone dove seasons. Mississippi's already open, and we got a pleasant little change in the weather coming. But while this little cool front that's kind of moving in is going to feel a whole lot better in the dove field than normal September midday dove hunting. But the question is going to be, is it enough to move the doves in or move the ones that we hear out? Same goes for teal for next weekend. Could it be either, or could it be both? Well, if you're going to be dove hunting, let me know. You can text me at 504-260-1870. I'd like to hear your details, who you're hunting with, where you're hunting with, and what the prospects are for your dove hunt this morning. We're also looking for answers to a couple of questions. Number one, I received a saltwater recreational survey by email this week. To provide data for the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. My question for you, have you ever received one of these, and did you fill it out? That's how we get the near real-time collection data. Number two, this past Labor Day weekend, our Bayou Isle TV crew, along with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters over there in Gulfport, Mississippi, we headed into the Mississippi Gulf for another hunt fish of a lifetime trip with a young patient, a Hodgkin's lymphoma patient named Justin Logar, and his dad, John. They both came a long way from New Jersey, and I'm happy to tell you he was able to catch the fish of his lifetime, an estimated 155-pound tarpon, we call them. Well, what would be your hunt or fish of a lifetime? A bucket list trip. What would it be for you? You can text those answers to those questions along with your personal fishing reports, your comments, your question. That number again, keep it handy, is 504-260-1870. Your text messages come in real time. Sorry, we can't accept photographs. If you want to send me an image, you can do that by going to my website using the contact button at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Our Bayou Wild photographer who documented that trip last weekend is going to be joining us. Chris LeCocq is his name. We'll be previewing what you'll see this fall and winter on Bayou Wild season number 13. The Louisiana Red Snapper quota numbers, the catch is in through August 25th, and it's sitting at 92.3%. Red Snapper season in Louisiana is going to wrap up soon, so get them while you can. You also may have heard this week, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan has requested the commission consider relaxing regulations on two species of sharks that have gone from threatened to nuisance status, making a lot of recreational anglers happy. We'll have the details. They did pass that on Thursday in the form of a notice of intent, and we'll tell you what that's all about. And speaking of sharks, this coming Tuesday will be the 110th anniversary of the only documented shark attack fatality in Louisiana. I'll have that chilling story as well as what might be the most repulsive bad boy the outdoor story I've ever told in 35 years of this show's history. It's the case of the spotted fawn strangler. You heard me right. Well, let's look at your coastal marine forecast. If you're getting out, boy, that front is moving through. It's pushing. A lot of areas have already cleared behind Slidell, Hammond, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles, New Iberia, Morgan City. All those areas are in the clear. Still dealing with it. Cocodrie, Dulac, some of those areas to the extreme southeast of Louisiana still got a little bit to go, but I think in the next hour, 2 hours, it's going to be out of here. We're going to have much more pleasant weather. What you'll be dealing with instead of rain might be some residual northeast winds. There is a small craft advisory up offshore. Northeast winds 15 to 25, 3 to 5-foot seas, but I'm not seeing that right now. Much lighter winds and lower seas, and we'll check with our field reporters, find out how accurate that is. And we'll be back to do that. We start off in Shell Beach with Robbie Campo's report next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, it's been a rough couple of weeks, especially down the lower coast weather-wise, but that is getting ready. In fact, it's in the process of changing right now. Let's see what's going on at Shell Beach at Campo's Marina. Talk to Robbie Campo. Robbie, did you guys have any high water problems? We had a lot of winds from the southeast and a lot of rain combined. I know there were some places that were fearing water up on the docks and stuff. Were you guys okay?
Don, I tell you, we are experiencing water on the dock. Water came up, I believe it was Thursday evening, It was 4.9 feet above sea level. It was almost to the edge of the highway. None up on, you know, we didn't have to drive through any to get out, but it was lapping up on the road. It was right there. So today it's just up on the docks. You know, we're going to see this probably until the front gets through here and maybe kind of blow some of this water out. We have a northeast wind this morning, Don, 22 miles an hour, holding pretty steady there. So
yeah.
It's been blowing, raining all night. I looked at the radar early. I think we're going to get a little break in this, later on this morning here. But I tell you, not having many folks out fishing the last couple of days, kind of hard to give you a fishing report when you didn't have anybody fishing. It takes people to go out to find out what's going on. We did have some guys go out, Captain Charlie Thomason and his crew. They fished on the south side, and I'm, from looking at the Facebook post, I see they've done well with redfish. And I know Captain Jonathan Sanchez and Danny Dyson do fish over here on the north side in the Biloxi Marsh, and they also did well with some reds. But I haven't had any trout reports in the last couple of days due to this weather. So, but it's just been nasty. Today is the kind of day that if you have honeydews, you get them done, because there's better days to come, and fall fishing is just around the corner, guys. And I'm thinking we're just going to have a spectacular fall here. So, you might want to, if she's sending you to Home Depot this morning, get your list and get it ready and get it done, so you could enjoy the days ahead, that we're going to have a good fishing here.
Yeah, if somebody's, it's their days and they got to fish, or they want to go later this afternoon or tomorrow, I think it's definitely going to improve. But instead of dealing with rain, they're going to be dealing with wind and maybe a little high and dirty water. Robbie, next weekend's the big opening of the teal season. Are you going to be open early enough for people that want to get out there and head to the Biloxi Marsh and give it a shot, even though, I'm not getting a whole lot of reports from there? What are you hearing?
Well, Don, my kid went back and looked for those ducks that we talked about the other day, and I think those ducks were passing through. Never seen them again, and it wasn't in the same spot. So I think, but you never know, Don, with this wind, this little front coming through, it may bring some teals down. And it's always, teals are a funny duck. I mean, because they could be there one day, not be there one day and just be there the next. So, we'll be here. We get here around 4:30, 4:40 in the morning. So we quarter to five, we always here. So if we got any duck hunters that want to go next weekend and go give it a shot, we're going to be here. We'll be open.
Well, my advice would be, in addition to the shotguns and the decoys, bring your fishing gear. Because you can do the blast and cast if you don't find the teal, or teal hunting generally wraps up pretty early. Then you got the whole rest of the morning to fish, and hopefully we'll have a little bit better weather and some better conditions for next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Don, especially if you hunt up in that Biloxi Marsh, it's always good to bring a fishing pole, because you could go hit Max Pass and Stump Lagoon or somewhere right around Muscle Bay back there, and usually pick up a few fish before, on your way in. So if you get to hunt that morning and get lucky to kill a few, I don't know what's going to transpire. If they're going to come down, if they're going to, fly, if the flyway is still going westward, that all remains to be seen until next Saturday morning. And I know we got some diehards that's going to go, because I know people that's, been out building blinds already and, scouting and so forth and so on. So, on their own private leases. But anyway, I do know people that's been scouting the Biloxi Marsh and, seen just a couple, but not the amount of ducks that, you'd be out there looking for. So, we're going to be here. And look, if you're going fishing today, we got bait in the tanks, and if it's your day to go, hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We here all day. We're waiting on them.
Yep, and you keep an eye on that weather. Look at that radar because that frontal system is moving through and conditions are going to definitely improve. You know, Robbie, I can't tell you how many times I've been set up hunting ducks, and from the blind or from the boat blind, all of a sudden I see redfish breaking and tailing in the pond. I'm saying, man, I should have brought a rod. I could have caught him right here from the blind. You know, it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. I've heard that multiple times from people and said, man, we were sitting there and they were tailing in the decoys. and I know people that brought the fishing pole and has caught them out of the duck blind. So, you know, while you're fighting a redfish, somebody's shooting a teal. But it does happen, Don. And, you know, so, but, yeah, look, I mean, I just wish I had a better report for you, and I don't. And you know, the weather's nasty, and today is just one of these days. If you got honeydews, get them done because we got to have some exciting fishing coming soon. You just got to get this kind of stuff done when.
Hey, Robbie,
God gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So that's what we're going to do it.
Thanks for always being there, Robbie. We always tell them, hook the left when you get across the bridge, my friend.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Don.
All right. There he goes. Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right. We come back after this. Got some text messages to get to. A couple of questions. Are you going dove hunting? Have you ever gotten a survey from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to fill out about your fishing to help give them data? And if you did you fill it out? And what is your bucket list trip of a lifetime, hunting or fishing? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Comes right here to the studio. Back to share some of our listener text with you, and also got some announcements to make right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, today, opening day of the hunting season. So we've got Louisiana is going to be open statewide, and now you don't have that noon opening. It's 1/2 hour before sunrise, which is coming up pretty soon. Till sunset, it's open in both the north and south zones. Alabama's North Zone will be opening today, and then next weekend the South Zone opens. They have a noon opening on the opening day only, and then after that it's the 1/2 hour before sunrise, and I'll be over there hunting on that opening day of the South Zone in Alabama next Saturday morning. Mississippi has already been open, both the North and South Zones. Shooting hours there 1/2 hour before sunrise. If you're going dove hunting, we'd love to hear from you. Tell me where you're going. Boy, I had a lot of trouble. I had a lot of people asking about where you could go on a pay-per-day dove hunt, and it just seems like there's just not many of those around. I didn't get any information other than the Wildlife and Fisheries has some leases, some small leases, which I think are probably, unless they limit the number of permits, it's going to be overcrowded. They're like 20-acre fields in western and north Louisiana. But other than that, some WMAs are open for public hunting. But for the most part, finding a dove field like it used to be is a thing of the past. Most private landowners just have private invitation to specific friends and neighbors, I would think. All right, got some text messages coming in. This one's from Lafitte LT. He wants to know where to find the red snapper quota. He's looked on the Wildlife and Fishery and other sites, but he can only find the results from June. Well, it's on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, and if you might recall, when I had the Secretary Madison Shahan on, it was one of the things I mentioned to her was they needed to do some work with that Wildlife and Fisheries website. It's not very user-friendly. It's hard to find things, and she vowed that they would work on it, and you just got to navigate around till you locate it. I did make the announcement. The latest is 92.3%. We had almost 1 million pounds to catch. We're just about there, and as soon as they project that will be reached, they will issue a closure. But for now, red snapper, Louisiana season still going on. He also says his wife makes him wake her up for the Bad Boys segment. Then she goes back to sleep. LOL. Well, it's coming up in a little while, so you can get her up and let her go back to sleep. I got a question coming in from the Mad Trucker. Are hoodwinks worth buying? I'm not exactly sure what you mean by a hoodwink. I think what you're talking about is those little sleeping masks that you put on to make it dark and help you sleep. I think if that's what you're talking about, I don't have any personal experience with them, but I had a girlfriend that used to use those on airplane flights, and seemed like it really worked for her, but I've never giving them a try, so I can't give you an opinion whether they're worth buying or not. I guess some people say. Maybe some of our listeners have had experience and can weigh in on it. 504-260-1870. Good to hear our friend Wing Bones up, our turkey call maker from the Wing Bones of the Wild Turkeys. Captain Ross L. checking in. He said the weather had them on their toes yesterday, but still caught a limit of reds and a few black drum to boot. All right, Backstrap Stacker, he's up in Clark County, Alabama today. His fishing trip of a lifetime would be an Alaskan halibut trip. Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I got to tell you, that's one of the greatest trips of my lifetime. I wouldn't say it's the top, but it certainly ranks up there, because not only do you get a giant flounder on steroids, you got some great eating there, too. He says they needed some of that rain and finally got it. The interior of his truck needed it. The dust was getting out of control on those old red dirt roads. Yeah, it's a lot of places needed rain. A lot of places got more than what they had hoped for. And some of those places were down around the Houma, Dulac area. In fact, it's still getting some pretty good rains there. It sat over the Lake Charles area for a couple of days. But that system is moving on down. It's moving from the northwest to the southeast, and I'm thinking in just a couple hours it's going to be pretty much limited to the offshore. All right, we got some more texts. We'll get to those a little bit later on, 504-260-1870. When we come back, we're going to talk about sharks. They were in the news today. Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries asked the commission, which they agreed to eliminate the recreational size and bag limit on a couple of pesky species of sharks. And if you fished offshore, particularly out of the Grand Isle area, you know what I'm talking about. We're back to talk about that. And also next, is it Monday or Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday. No, Monday is the 110th anniversary of the only ever documented shark attack fatality in Louisiana. It's a chilling story, and I'll share it with you when we come back. Stick around here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, the weather's looking a little better. It's improving, unless you're in that Grand Isle and Cocodrie, Dulac area. Boy, it's really got some heavy stuff embedded there. Also, some pretty stiff winds coming through the front that's passing through, but behind it, it's leaving some much drier conditions. And we'll keep you updated throughout the show for the next couple hours on the weather situation. All right, we've got the South Central Planning and Development Commission has been conducting surveys on behalf of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries regarding saltwater recreational activities. And I was chosen to get a survey from that organization this week. And it says you have the option of not receiving a phone call, which would collect the data, if you complete the survey before 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And I did that. I went online and answered a few questions that basically asked if you went fishing. Did you fish from a boat? Was it a private angler or charter trip? Which basin were you? Did you keep the fish? How much time did you spend fishing? Questions like that to get data so that they can better manage recreational fishing. And have you ever gotten one of those? That's maybe the second time I've ever gotten that. And I didn't wait for the phone call. That's, you know, hit and miss if they're going to catch you on the phone. But by filling it out, hopefully that'll help them. If you got one of those, let me know. 504-260-1870. All right, we're going to take a quick pause for a 10-second station ID. When we come back, we're going to talk sharks. Louisiana's opening up the take of a couple of species, at least they hope to, if the legislature allows it. And I'm going to tell you about a chilling shark fatality story, the only recorded one ever in Louisiana, and it took place in Lake Pontchartrain. Back with that, but first we'll let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. This week, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan asked the commission, which they obliged her and did, was to eliminate the recreational size and bag limits for black tip and bull sharks. They have had a 54-inch minimum size and a one fish per person, per vessel, per day. And if this passes, it will eliminate that. It'll be pretty much open season on any size, any number for recreational fishermen on those two species. They say that they have recovered sufficiently. In fact, they have become depredatory and basically nuisance. And if you've been fishing offshore, you probably know what I'm talking about, reeling up some heads sometimes with nothing left but the imprint of a shark's bite. Well, on the commercial side, they will increase that from 45 per day to 55 per trip. And the way this stands now, the commission filed what's called a notice of intent. There's now a 90-day comment period where the public and any organization will be asked to comment on what they think about it. And then at the end of the comment period, the commission will review it. They may make modifications or they may keep it as it is written now and send that to the legislature for their oversight committee. And then they will have the opportunity to review it, maybe modify it, reject it, or approve it, or basically do nothing. And sometime next year, we may be able to keep in black tip and bull sharks as many as the recreationals want with no size limit on them. All right, so, and you know what, this really, more important, it's not a big deal, but what it shows me, you know, just the week before, the secretary appealed to the commission and to increase the number of days you can hunt the whistling ducks because they're here. And these are two things that you, the listeners, actually gave me to present to the secretary as things you'd like to see, and the list is a lot longer than that, but it shows me that she's actually responding to public requests by doing those two pretty small things. And she also went aboard on one of the Menhaden boats, the Pogey boat, and observed what was going on there and came back with a report that she felt pretty confident that they were going to abide by the law and do the reporting as required, and feels like there's some steady improvement there. That the jury's still out on that. That remains to be seen. But what it does is it shows me she's working to cooperate with public requests, things that the public is asking for, things that we say, this is a no-brainer, this should happen. She's taken the time to do that. So we'll see how she fares out. I know there's been a lot of controversy. A lot of you are behind her 100%, and a lot of you don't think she ever deserved a job, coming in with no experience, never being in Louisiana, not that big of a involvement in outdoor issues. To head up a big agency like that was a pretty big task to undertake, and we'll see how she progresses. All right, also did want to make this announcement about the Acadiana Youth Hunter Education Club. They are having their 20-year anniversary hunting and fishing banquet. This is going to be on next Saturday, September the 14th. It kicks off at 5 o'clock at the Bayou Bend Conference Center on Northwest Boulevard in Franklin, Louisiana. Got a big deal going on here. They're going to have auctions and great food and a lot of money being raised for a great cause, the Acadiana Youth Hunter Education Club. They provide hunter education and activities for 10 to 18-year-olds. And you can get tickets and tables, and if you just go to Acadiana, YHEC, that's Youth Hunter Education Club, should be a great night over there at the Bayou Bend Conference Center. 20 years has been going on and helping youth get into hunting and fishing. There'll be a lot of silent auctions and a whole lot more. So if you can make it, there it is. Again, that is Acadiana, YHEC. All right, I didn't have time this segment for the shark story. I will do that as soon as we come back. Tell you about the only recorded shark attack fatality that took place in Louisiana. And on this coming Monday, it will be 110 years ago. Tell you all about it after these messages on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. And on the September 9th, 1914, it'll be 110 years ago on this coming Monday, the only ever documented shark fatality took place in Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana. And let me set the stage for you. In 1914, there wasn't a whole lot of entertainment going on. This was before television. I think there may have been some very early movie theaters. No internet, no TikTok, no Facebook. People were entertained in ways now that we would seem to be primitive. And at that time, on the shoreline, the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain, there was the West End Amusement Park, which was the predecessor of what later on became known as Pontchartrain Beach, which was a big amusement park. But this one, in sketches I've seen, basically was a dock. It had a roller coaster on it and, you know, other exhibit halls. And part of the entertainment that took place there, they had what were called fancy swimmers. These were professional swimmers that went out and entertained an audience by their different types of strokes and swimming. And there was a pretty large crowd that gathered there on September the 9th to watch a young man. He was 17 years old. He was from Turkey, named Peter Konspoulos. And he was a fancy swimmer. He swam out about, they said, somewhere between 100 and 200 yards off the shore, and had been performing for about 15 minutes when all of a sudden he was attacked by a shark. The first attack pulled him completely under, and he was bitten on the right foot on that first attack. He managed to get free and start swimming for shore, and then a second attack occurred, and this one got him on the right leg. And he was kicking and flailing his arms as the crowd was watching in horror. What was there was a pretty big crowd that had lined the bank. And he got free again. And he continued to try to struggle. By this time, some men in the audience went and got a boat and started heading for him. The accounts that were in the newspapers didn't say if they were paddling the boat, if it had a small outboard motor, which was always available at that time. But it took a while for them to get to him. After he was bitten on the right arm, he got free again. And the crowd said he had slowed down, obviously, he had been hit three times. And the last time he was bitten, the entire shark came out of the water with the boy's torso, the right side of his body, in its mouth, completely in its mouth, and went down. And he actually got free of that and was struggling. About that time, the boat got there, the shark took off, and before that rescue boat could get to shore, he bled to death from those injuries. I was doing a story on shark attacks and came across this story. It's the only one I could ever find about anyone that was killed in Louisiana by a shark attack. There have been other shark bites. I remember an acquaintance of mine from Slidell that was a diver. He was bitten while he was diving by a tiger shark. There's been some bites. In fact, others at Lake Pontchartrain, right there by the Seabrook Bridge, there was a youngster that was bitten there. And a lot of times, if you're fishing offshore, if you've ever done it wade fishing on the edge of the Gulf, like Chandelier Island, Grand Isle, a lot of times what you do is you have a stringer, and it's tied to your belt, and you string the fish on it. So you got this stringer of dying fish and sometimes bleeding fish going out from you, and that attracts sharks. I've actually had my stringer tugged on by sharks. People refer to them as sand sharks. The technical term is the Atlantic sharp nose. They don't get very big. They're not considered man-eaters, but I'm sure there's been people who have been grazed by those in shallow water. But as far as a fatality, this was the only one, and it occurred 110 years ago, on September the 9th, in Lake Pontchartrain. The death certificate was signed by Dr. O'Reilly, and the cause of death was clearly a shark bite. Only one, so, you know, I'm sure there's probably been other shark deaths that have been unreported, and people who were lost at sea and never recovered, it could have been the cause of sharks. But that's the only one. They would estimate, and I would think, I tend to agree, I think this was probably a bull shark. Bull sharks frequent Lake Pontchartrain. In fact, we just did a fishing trip, and we caught a couple of small ones with Mason Taylor, who is an LSU tight end. We were doing a Tigers in the Wild, and he caught some pretty big garfish. And, of course, it was catch and release in Lake Pontchartrain. They come in there to spawn, and they have a higher tolerance for fresh or brackish water. They've been found all the way up the Mississippi River. So I'm thinking that that's probably what it was. They're big enough to do that. It would probably be very well. The weather's looking a little better. It's improving, unless you're in that Grand Isle and Cocodrie, Dulac area. Boy, it's really got some heavy stuff embedded there. Also, some pretty stiff winds coming through with the front that's passing through, but behind it, it's leaving some much drier conditions. And we'll keep you updated throughout the show for the next couple of hours on the weather situation. All right, we've got the South Central Planning and Development Commission has been conducting surveys on behalf of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries regarding saltwater recreational activities. And I was chosen to get a survey from that organization this week, and it says you have the option of not receiving a phone call, which would collect the data, if you complete the survey before 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And I did that. I went online and answered a few questions that basically asked if you went fishing. Did you fish from a boat? Was it a private angler or charter trip? Which basin were you? Did you keep the fish? How much time did you spend fishing? Questions like that to get data so that they can better manage recreational fishing. And have you ever gotten one of those? That's maybe the second time I've ever gotten that. And I didn't wait for the phone call. That's, you know, hit and miss if they're going to catch you on the phone. But by filling it out, hopefully that'll help them. If you have, if you got one of those, let me know, 504-260-1870. We're going to take a quick pause for the 10-second station ID. When we come back, we're going to talk sharks. Louisiana's opening up the take of a couple of species, at least they hope to, if the legislature allows it. And I'm going to tell you about a chilling shark fatality story, the only recorded one ever in Louisiana, and it took place in Lake Pontchartrain. Back with that, but first we'll let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. This week, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan asked the commission, which they obliged her and did, was to eliminate the recreational size and bag limits for black tip and bull sharks. They have had a 54-inch minimum size and a one fish per person per vessel per day. And if this passes, it will eliminate that. It'll be pretty much open season on any size, any number for recreational fishermen on those two species. They say that they have recovered sufficiently. In fact, they have become depredatory and basically nuisance. And if you've been fishing offshore, you probably know what I'm talking about, reeling up some heads sometimes with nothing left but the imprint of a shark's bite. Well, on the commercial side, they will increase that from 45 per day to 55 per trip. And the way this stands now, the commission filed what's called a notice of intent. There's now a 90-day comment period where the public and any organization will be asked to comment on what they think about it. And then at the end of the comment period, the commission will review it. They may make modifications or they may keep it as it is written now and send that to the legislature for their oversight committee. And then they will have the opportunity to review it, maybe modify it, reject it, or approve it, or basically do nothing. And sometime next year, we may be able to keep in black tip and bull sharks as many as the recreationals want with no size limit on them. All right, so, and you know what, this really, more important, it's not a big deal, but what it shows me, you know, just the week before, the secretary appealed to the commission and to increase the number of days you can hunt the whistling ducks because they're here. And these are two things that you, the listeners, actually gave me to present to the secretary as things you'd like to see, and the list is a lot longer than that, but it shows me that she's actually responding to public requests by doing those two pretty small things. And she also went aboard on one of the Menhaden boats, the Pogey boat, and observed what was going on there and came back with a report that she felt pretty confident that they were going to abide by the law and do the reporting as required, and feels like there's some steady improvement there. That the jury's still out on that. That remains to be seen. But what it does is it shows me she's working to cooperate with public requests, things that the public is asking for, things that we say, this is a no-brainer, this should happen. She's taken the time to do that. So we'll see how she fares out. I know there's been a lot of controversy. A lot of you are behind her 100%, and a lot of you don't think she ever deserved the job, coming in with no experience, never being in Louisiana, not that big of a involvement in outdoor issues. To head up a big agency like that was a pretty big task to undertake, and we'll see how she progresses. All right, also did want to make this announcement about the Acadiana Youth Hunter Education Club. They are having their 20-year anniversary hunting and fishing banquet. This is going to be on next Saturday, September the 14th. It kicks off at 5 o'clock at the Bayou Bend Conference Center on Northwest Boulevard in Franklin, Louisiana. Got a big deal going on here. They're going to have auctions and great food and a lot of money being raised for a great cause, the Acadiana Youth Hunter Education Club. They provide hunter education and activities for 10 to 18-year-olds. And you can get tickets and tables, and if you just go to Acadiana YHEC, YHEC, that's Youth Hunter Education Club. Should be a great night over there at the Bayou Bend Conference Center. 20 years has been going on and helping youth get into hunting and fishing. There'll be a lot of silent auctions and a whole lot more. So if you can make it, there it is. Again, that is Acadiana YHEC. All right, I didn't have time this segment for the shark story. I will do that as soon as we come back. Tell you about the only recorded shark attack fatality that took place in Louisiana. And on this coming Monday, it will be 110 years ago. Tell you all about it after these messages on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. And on the September 9th, 1914, it'll be 110 years ago on this coming Monday, the only ever documented shark fatality took place in Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana. And let me set the stage for you. In 1914, there wasn't a whole lot of entertainment going on. This was before television. I think there may have been some very early movie theaters. No internet, no TikTok, no Facebook. People were entertained in ways now that we would seem to be primitive. And at that time, on the shoreline, the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain, there was the West End Amusement Park, which was the predecessor of what later on became known as Pontchartrain Beach, which was a big amusement park. But this one, in sketches I've seen, basically was a dock. It had a roller coaster on it and, you know, other exhibit halls. And part of the entertainment that took place there, they had what were called fancy swimmers. These were professional swimmers that went out and entertained an audience by their different types of strokes and swimming. And there was a pretty large crowd that gathered there on September the 9th to watch a young man. He was 17 years old. He was from Turkey, named Peter Konspoulos. And he was a fancy swimmer. He swam out about, they said, somewhere between 100 and 200 yards off the shore and had been performing for about 15 minutes when all of a sudden he was attacked by a shark. The first attack pulled him completely under, and he was bitten on the right foot on that first attack. He managed to get free and start swimming for shore, and then a second attack occurred, and this one got him on the right leg. And he was kicking and flailing his arms as the crowd was watching in horror. What was there was a pretty big crowd that had lined the bank, and he got free again. And he continued to try to struggle. By this time, some men in the audience went and got a boat and started heading for him. The accounts that were in the newspapers didn't say if they were paddling the boat, if it had a small outboard motor, which was all was available at that time. But it took a while for them to get to him. After he was bitten on the right arm, he got free again. And the crowd said he was slowly, he had slowed down, obviously, he had been hit three times, and the last time he was bitten, the entire shark came out of the water with the boy's torso, the right side of his body, in its mouth, completely in its mouth, and went down, and he actually got free of that and was struggling. About that time, the boat got there, the shark took off, and before that rescue boat could get to shore, he bled to death from those injuries. I was doing a story on shark attacks and came across this story. It's the only one I could ever find about anyone that was killed in Louisiana by a shark attack. There have been other shark bites. I remember an acquaintance of mine from Slidell that was a diver. He was bitten while he was diving by a tiger shark. There's been some bites. In fact, others at Lake Pontchartrain, right there by the Seabrook Bridge, there was a youngster that was bitten there. And a lot of times, if you're fishing offshore, if you've ever done it wade fishing on the edge of the Gulf, like Chandelier Island, Grand Isle. A lot of times what you do is you have a stringer, and it's tied to your belt, and you string the fish on it. So you got this stringer of dying fish and sometimes bleeding fish going out from you, and that attracts sharks. I've actually had my stringer tugged on by sharks. People refer to them as sand sharks. The technical term is the Atlantic sharp nose. They don't get very big. They're not considered man-eaters, but I'm sure there's been people who have been grazed by those in shallow water. But as far as a fatality, this was the only one, and it occurred 110 years ago on September the 9th in Lake Pontchartrain. The death certificate was signed by Dr. O'Reilly, and the cause of death was clearly a shark bite. Only one, so, you know, I'm sure there's probably been other shark deaths that have been unreported, and people who were lost at sea and never recovered, it could have been the cause of sharks. But that's the only one. They would estimate, and I would think, I tend to agree, I think this was probably a bull shark. Bull sharks frequent Lake Pontchartrain. In fact, we just did a fishing trip, and we caught a couple of small ones with Mason Taylor, who is an LSU tight end. We were doing a Tigers in the Wild, and he caught some pretty big garfish. And, of course, it was catch and release in Lake Pontchartrain. They come in there to spawn, and they have a higher tolerance for fresh or brackish water. They've been found all the way up the Mississippi River. So I'm thinking that that's probably what it was. They're big enough to do that. It would probably be a very large bull shark. And unfortunately, this young man and the crowd got a lot more than they bargained for. All right, that's the story of the shark attack. I want to remind you, Sunshine John Deere, in fact, I was talking about Mason Taylor. He and I, you may see in a picture of he and I in a gator, an LSU-colored purple and gold gator that John Deere and Sunshine Equipment is giving away with LSU, and this will benefit the Louisiana FFA and the 4-H programs. And it's $20 for a ticket. It will be drawn at an LSU home game to be announced. The tickets will be available from now through November the 17th. And if you want to get one, just check it out. Go to John Deere or Sunshine Equipment, and you can find the ticket information there. All right, we come back after this. We'll check in with Captain Darryl Carpenter. Grand Isle is a mess right now. It's been a mess all week. Hopefully that's going to clear up in the next several hours or by tomorrow. We'll find out what's going on down there on Louisiana's largest inhabited, they call it an island, Grand Isle. We're back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle. Not sure we want to go down there this morning. Weather looking a little rough. Let's talk to Darryl Carpenter. Darryl, what's been going on? Recap how this rainy, windy week has been going. And, man, doesn't look good down there unless you're going to go later this afternoon or maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, Don, I mean, I don't know what there is to recap. I mean, it's been a little bit windy and a whole lot wet. And that's the same thing it is this morning. Now, the wind has started to make its change to the north, and I just looked at the tide gauge, and it's making that change right at the tide change where we have a little bit of a falling tide all day, and it's dropping like a rock right now. So there's going to be a whole lot of water moving out of that marsh the next couple of days. It's have to wait and see how dirty it makes it, but, man, that's going to make for some good fishing if the wind will let you calm down because, you know, I mean, we've got a flooded marsh. You've had a very large shrimp crop in the marsh. Our first little cold front that's going to drop the water levels. Every cut, everywhere you got any kind of a bottleneck is going to have shrimp pouring out of it. And those fish ought to be stacked up on it. But thing is, they may have forgotten what a lure looks like because there hadn't been a whole lot of boat traffic. There hadn't been a whole lot of moving around all week long around the Grand Isle area. But hey, I mean, we've got to have these days to give them a break, and we're gonna have good days to follow. And man, that fall fishing's gonna be just filling boats. I mean, it ain't that hard to fill them anymore, so you'll be filling the boats full of fish.
Yeah, hard tide fall this time of year is always good. Darryl, I got a question text in from Elliot. He wants to know about crabbing. Has it been easy, and have there been a lot of crabs down there this year? How's crabbing on the Grand Isle beaches? That would probably be my advice,
crabbing's
or possibly
been great.
Off the bridge.
Crabbing's been great. Now, I don't fool. I call them sand crabs because when you get them buried on that beach, a lot of times they're full of sand. But I mean, as of, right before all this weather set in, we made another run on our string of traps in the bay. And you just couldn't complain. I mean, in fact, my wife was with me on that one, and she posted pictures all over the internet. The stone crab run was just outstanding. I mean, two nights we had dinner of nothing but stone crab claws. It's been holding up good. The size is increasing a little bit right now because, you know, most of them have done their shedding for the year. You might have one more shed left. So a lot of the crabs were a little bit light. But other than that, I mean, just this past week, I picked almost a gallon of meat, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of crab meat sitting in the refrigerator right now.
Well, you could survive, Darryl, between the fish you catch, the shrimp you catch, and the crabs. Man, you got it made down there. You're like a seafood buffet.
And look, everybody loves their crab cakes, but I can tell you what, there's a different twist to them when you do a crab cake that's about 50% crab meat and 50% shrimp. It's really good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with crab meat. You can put it on just about anything with anything, and some great stuff. A little bit of work peeling them as opposed to crawfish, but well worth it. Well, Darryl, any other thoughts? I mean, you know, what would be your first piece of advice for people that wait until all this junk gets out of here and we get a little bit of a lighter wind and, you know, maybe find some clear water? But what would you suggest if somebody's returning after all this high water and wind and dirty water?
Well, the bull reds ought to be good in the passes. And, Don, like you said, it might take a little bit of traveling around to find the trout because you're going to have to find some cleaner water. But the fish ought to be everywhere because the transition had already started. There's still fish out toward the beaches. There's still fish on the lower oyster reefs. But especially this is going to start making those fish start ganging up a little bit more on the inside. So it's going to take a little bit of running around looking for clean water. Just look for moving water. Look for that bait on those points. And you ought to be able to find something just about everywhere you go.
Sounds good, Darryl. Somebody wants to get you. Got you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Give them your site and the telephone number if they want to give you a call and check on availabilities.
Yeah, there's RealScreamers.com or there's 225-937-6288. And the beautiful thing about this time of the year is we got plenty of time to talk fishing.
Very good. Darryl, thanks so much for the report. Always appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, Don. Stay dry.
All right. There he goes, Darryl Carpenter. Probably going to cook up some of that crab meat. All right. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we've got more fishing reports. Captain Mike Gallo, born on the bayou, is going to join us, talk about an area that is starting to clear out a little bit after some high coastal flooding and some rainy weather. Going to be left with a little bit of residual wind out of the northeast. We'll see what he's got planned. Also, if you like to paddle for your fish, Brendan Bayard joins us. He's always got some good information for the kayakers. And we're going to talk to the plastic man, Ryan Lambert, find out how those teal are shaping up down there. And the question is, when you get an early front like this, it's not going to drop the temperature drastically, but wind direction changes, humidity lowers a little bit, and sometimes it can be just the thing to stimulate those teal, which are early migrants, to head down, or would it move out the teal that are here? Same thing for the doves. This is opening day of dove season. Will it move doves out, move doves in? What will be the residual effect? And what are you seeing? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 and your fish or hunt of a lifetime. I got a few of those texting in. We'll share those when we come back. Also, a bad boy, the outdoor story that is going to make you sick to your stomach. It's probably one of the most repulsive reports I've done in reporting 35 years on this radio program. All that's still to come in the 6 to 7 hour. Hope you'll be with us for it. 504-260-1870 if you want to text us a message, question, or a comment. We'll be back to get to those fishing reports, all that stuff you and I just love to talk about every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. We do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And on the September 9th, 1914, it'll be 110 years ago on this coming Monday, the only ever documented shark fatality took place in Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana. And let me set the stage for you. In 1914, there wasn't a whole lot of entertainment going on. This was before television. I think there may have been some very early movie theaters. No internet, no TikTok, no Facebook. People were entertained in ways now that we would seem to be primitive. And at that time, on the shoreline, the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain, there was the West End Amusement Park, which was the predecessor of what later on became known as Pontchartrain Beach, which was a big amusement park. But this one, in sketches I've seen, basically was a dock. It had a roller coaster on it and, you know, other exhibit halls. And part of the entertainment that took place there, they had what were called fancy swimmers. These were professional swimmers that went out and entertained an audience by their different types of strokes and swimming. And there was a pretty large crowd that gathered there on September the 9th to watch a young man. He was 17 years old. He was from Turkey, named Peter Konspoulos. And he was a fancy swimmer. He swam out about, they said, somewhere between 100 and 200 yards off the shore, and had been performing for about 15 minutes when all of a sudden he was attacked by a shark. The first attack pulled him completely under, and he was bitten on the right foot on that first attack. He managed to get free and start swimming for shore, and then a second attack occurred, and this one got him on the right leg. And he was kicking and flailing his arms as the crowd was watching in horror. What was there was a pretty big crowd that had lined the bank. And he got free again. And he continued to try to struggle. By this time, some men in the audience went and got a boat and started heading for him. The accounts that were in the newspapers didn't say if they were paddling the boat, if it had a small outboard motor, which was all was available at that time. But it took a while for them to get to him. After he was bitten on the right arm, he got free again. And the crowd said he was slowly, he had slowed down. Obviously, he had been hit three times. And the last time he was bitten, the entire shark came out of the water with the boy's torso, the right side of his body, in its mouth, completely in its mouth, and went down. And he actually got free of that and was struggling. About that time, the boat got there, the shark took off, and before that rescue boat could get to shore, he bled to death from those injuries. I was doing a story on shark attacks and came across this story. It's the only one I could ever find about anyone that was killed in Louisiana by a shark attack. There have been other shark bites. I remember an acquaintance of mine from Slidell that was a diver. He was bitten while he was diving by a tiger shark. There's been some bites. In fact, others at Lake Pontchartrain, right there by the Seabrook Bridge, there was a youngster that was bitten there. And a lot of times, if you're fishing offshore, if you've ever done wade fishing on the edge of the Gulf, like Chandelier Island, Grand Isle, a lot of times what you do is you have a stringer, and it's tied to your belt, and you string the fish on it. So you got this stringer of dying fish and sometimes bleeding fish going out from you, and that attracts sharks. I've actually had my stringer tugged on by sharks. People refer to them as sand sharks. The technical term is the Atlantic sharpnose. They don't get very big. They're not considered man-eaters, but I'm sure there's been people who have been grazed by those in shallow water. But as far as a fatality, this was the only one, and it occurred 110 years ago, on September the 9th in Lake Pontchartrain. The death certificate was signed by Dr. O'Reilly, and the cause of death was clearly a shark bite. Only one, so, you know, I'm sure there's probably been other shark deaths that have been unreported, and people who were lost at sea and never recovered, it could have been the cause of sharks. But that's the only one. They would estimate, and I would think, I tend to agree, I think this was probably a bull shark. Bull sharks frequent Lake Pontchartrain. In fact, we just did a fishing trip, and we caught a couple of small ones with Mason Taylor, who is an LSU tight end. We were doing a Tigers in the Wild, and he caught some pretty big garfish. And, of course, it was catch and release in Lake Pontchartrain. They come in there to spawn, and they have a higher tolerance for fresh or brackish water. They've been found all the way up the Mississippi River. So I'm thinking that that's probably what it was. They're big enough to do that. It would probably be a very large bull shark. And unfortunately, this young man and the crowd got a lot more than they bargained for. All right, that's the story of the shark attack. I want to remind you, Sunshine John Deere, in fact, I was talking about Mason Taylor. He and I, you may have seen a picture of he and I in a gator, an LSU colored purple and gold gator. that John Deere and Sunshine Equipment is giving away with LSU, and this will benefit the Louisiana FFA and the 4-H programs. And it's $20 for a ticket. It will be drawn at the LSU at an LSU home game to be announced. The tickets will be available from now through November the 17th. And if you want to get one, just check it out. Go to John Deere or Sunshine Equipment, and you can find the ticket information there. All right, we'll come back after this. We'll check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter. Grand Isle is a mess right now. It's been a mess all week. Hopefully that's going to clear up in the next several hours or by tomorrow. We'll find out what's going on down there on Louisiana's largest inhabited, they call it an island, Grand Isle. We're back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle. Not sure we want to go down there this morning. Weather looking a little rough. Let's talk to Darrell Carpenter. Darrell, what's been going on? Recap how this rainy, windy week has been going. And, man, doesn't look good down there unless you're going to go later this afternoon or maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, Don, I mean, I don't know what there is to recap. I mean, it's been a little bit windy and a whole lot wet. And that's the same thing it is this morning. Now, the wind has started to make its change to the north, and I just looked at the tide gauge, and it's making that change right at the tide change where we have a little bit of a falling tide all day, and it's dropping like a rock right now. So there's going to be a whole lot of water moving out of that marsh the next couple of days. It's have to wait and see how dirty it makes it, but, man, that's going to make for some good fishing if the wind will let you calm down because, you know, I mean – we've got a flooded marsh. You've had a very large shrimp crop in the marsh. Our first little cold front that's going to drop the water levels. Every cut, everywhere you got any kind of a bottleneck is going to have shrimp pouring out of it. And those fish ought to be stacked up on it. But thing is, they may have forgotten what a lure looks like because there hadn't been a whole lot of boat traffic. There hadn't been a whole lot of moving around all week long around the Grand Isle area. But hey, I mean, we've got to have these days to give them a break, and we're gonna have, you know, we're gonna have good days to follow. And man, that fall fishing's gonna be just, you know, just filling boats. I mean, it ain't that hard to fill them anymore, so you'll be filling the boats full of fish.
Yeah, hard tide fall this time of year is always good. Darrell, I got a question text in from Elliot. He wants to know about crabbing. Has it been easy, and have there been a lot of crabs down there this year? How's crabbing on Grand Isle beaches? That would probably be my advice,
crabbing's
or possibly
been great.
Off the bridge.
Crabbing's been great. Now, I don't fool. I call them sand crabs because when you get them buried on that beach, a lot of times they're full of sand. But, I mean, as of, you know, right before all this weather set in, we made another run on our string of traps in the bay. And, man, you just couldn't complain. I mean, in fact, my wife went with me on that one, and she posted pictures all over the Internet. The stone crab run was just outstanding. I mean, two nights we had dinner of nothing but stone crab claws. So, I mean, yeah, it's been holding up good. The size is increasing a little bit right now because – you know, most of them have done their shedding for the year. You might have one more shed left. So a lot of the crabs were a little bit light. But yeah, man, other than that, I mean, just this past week, I picked almost a gallon of meat, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of crab meat sitting in the refrigerator right now.
Well, you could survive, Darrell, between the fish you catch, the shrimp you catch, and the crabs. Man, you got it made down there. You're like a seafood buffet.
And look, everybody loves their crab cakes, but I can tell you what, there's a different twist to them when you do a crab cake that's about 50% crab meat and 50% shrimp. It's really good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with crab meat. You can put it on just about anything with anything, and some great stuff. A little bit of work peeling them as opposed to crawfish, but well worth it. Well, Darrell, any other thoughts? I mean, you know, what would be your first piece of advice for people that wait until all this junk gets out of here and we get a little bit of a lighter wind and, you know, maybe find some clear water? But what would you suggest if somebody's returning after all this high water and wind and dirty water?
Well, it ought to do, the bull reds ought to be good in the passes. And, Don, like you said, it might take a little bit of traveling around to find the trout because you're going to have to find some cleaner water. But the fish ought to be everywhere because the transition had already started. There's still fish out toward the beaches. There's still fish on the lower oyster reefs. But especially this is going to start making those fish start ganging up a little bit more on the inside. So it's going to take a little bit of running around looking for clean water. Just look for moving water. Look for that bait, you know, on those points. And you ought to be able to find something just about everywhere you go.
Sounds good, Dal. Somebody wants to get you. Got you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Give them your site and the telephone number if they want to give you a call and check on availabilities.
Yeah, there's RealScreamers.com or there's 225-937-6288. And the beautiful thing about this time of the year is we got plenty of time to talk fishing.
Very good. Darrell, thanks so much for the report. Always appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, Don. Stay dry.
All right. There he goes, Darrell Carpenter. Probably going to cook up some of that crab meat. All right. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we've got more fishing reports. Captain Mike Gallo, born on the bayou, is going to join us, talk about an area that is starting to clear out a little bit after some high coastal flooding and some rainy weather. Going to be left with a little bit of residual wind out of the northeast. We'll see what he's got planned. Also, if you like to paddle for your fish, Brendan Bayard joins us. He's always got some good information for the kayakers. And we're going to talk to the plastic man, Ryan Lambert, find out how those teal are shaping up down there. And the question is, when you get an early front like this, it's not going to drop the temperature drastically, but wind direction changes, humidity lowers a little bit, and sometimes it can be just the thing to stimulate those teal, which are early migrants, to head down, or would it move out the teal that are here? Same thing for the doves. This is opening day of dove season. Will it move doves out, move doves in? What will be the residual effect? And what are you seeing? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 and your fish or hunt of a lifetime. I got a few of those texting in. We'll share those when we come back. Also, a bad boy, the outdoor story that is going to make you sick to your stomach. It's probably one of the most repulsive reports I've done in reporting 35 years on this radio program. All that's still to come in the 6 to 7 hour. Hope you'll be with us for it. 504-260-187 if you want to text us a message, question, or a comment. We'll be back to get to those fishing reports, all that stuff you and I just love to talk about every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. We do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle. Not sure we want to go down there this morning. Weather looking a little rough. Let's talk to Darrell Carpenter. Darrell, what's been going on? Recap how this rainy, windy week has been going. And, man, doesn't look good down there unless you're going to go later this afternoon or maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, Don, I mean, I don't know what there is to recap. I mean, it's been a little bit windy and a whole lot wet. And that's the same thing it is this morning. Now, the wind has started to make its change to the north, and I just looked at the tide gauge, and it's making that change right at the tide change where we have a little bit of a falling tide all day, and it's dropping like a rock right now. So there's going to be a whole lot of water moving out of that marsh in the next couple of days. It's have to wait and see how dirty it makes it, but man, that's going to make for some good fishing if the wind will let you calm down because, you know, I mean, you've got a flooded marsh. You've had a very large shrimp crop in the marsh. Our first little cold front that's going to drop the water levels. Every cut, everywhere you got any kind of a bottleneck is going to have shrimp pouring out of it, and those fish ought to be stacked up on it. But thing is, they may have forgotten what a lure looks like because there hadn't been a whole lot of boat traffic. There hadn't been a whole lot of moving around all week long around the Grand Isle area. But hey, I mean, we've got to have these days to give them a break, and we're gonna have good days to follow. And man, that fall fishing's gonna be just filling boats. I mean, it ain't that hard to fill them anymore, so you'll be filling the boats full of fish.
Yeah, hard tide fall this time of year is always good. Darrell, I got a question text in from Elliot. He wants to know about crabbing. Has it been easy, and have there been a lot of crabs down there this year? How's crabbing on the Grand Isle beaches? That would probably be my advice,
crabbing's
or possibly
been great.
Off the bridge.
Crabbing's been great. Now, I don't fool. I call them sand crabs because when you get them buried on that beach, a lot of times they're full of sand. But I mean, as of, you know, right before all this weather set in, we made another run on our string of traps in the bay, and you just couldn't complain. I mean, in fact, my wife went with me on that one, and she posted pictures all over the internet. The stone crab run was just outstanding. I mean, two nights we had dinner of nothing but stone crab claws. So I mean, yeah, it's been holding up good. The size is increasing a little bit right now because, you know, most of them have done their shedding for the year. You might have one more shed left. So a lot of the crabs were a little bit light. But yeah, man, other than that, I mean, just this past week, I picked almost a gallon of meat, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of crab meat sitting in the refrigerator right now.
Well, you could survive, Darryl, between the fish you catch, the shrimp you catch, and the crabs. Man, you got it made down there. You're like a seafood buffet.
And look, everybody loves their crab cakes, but I can tell you what, there's a different twist to them when you do a crab cake that's about 50% crab meat and 50% shrimp. It's really good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with crab meat. You can put it on just about anything with anything, and some great stuff. A little bit of work peeling them as opposed to crawfish, but well worth it. Well, Darryl, any other thoughts? I mean, you know, what would be your first piece of advice for people that wait until all this junk gets out of here and we get a little bit of a lighter wind and, you know, maybe find some clear water? But what would you suggest if somebody's returning after all this high water and wind and dirty water?
Well, it ought to do, the bull reds ought to be good in the passes. And, Don, like you said, it might take a little bit of traveling around to find the trout because you're going to have to find some cleaner water. But the fish ought to be everywhere because the transition had already started. There's still fish out toward the beaches. There's still fish on the lower oyster reefs. But especially this is going to start making those fish start ganging up a little bit more on the inside. So it's going to take a little bit of running around looking for clean water. Just look for moving water. Look for that bait curve, you know, on those points. And you ought to be able to find something just about everywhere you go.
Sounds good, Darryl. Somebody wants to get you. Got you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Give them your site and the telephone number if they want to give you a call and check on availabilities.
Yeah, there's RealScreamers.com or there's 225-937-6288. And the beautiful thing about this time of the year is we got plenty of time to talk fishing.
Very good. Darryl, thanks so much for the report. Always appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, Don. Stay dry.
All right. There he goes, Darryl Carpenter. Probably going to cook up some of that crab meat. All right. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we've got more fishing reports. Captain Mike Gallo, born on the bayou, is going to join us, talk about an area that is starting to clear out a little bit after some high coastal flooding and some rainy weather. Going to be left with a little bit of residual wind out of the northeast. We'll see what he's got planned. Also, if you like to paddle for your fish, Brendan Bayard joins us. He's always got some good information for the kayakers. And we're going to talk to the plastic man, Ryan Lambert, find out how those teal are shaping up down there. And the question is, when you get an early front like this, it's not going to drop the temperature drastically, but wind direction changes, humidity lowers a little bit, and sometimes it can be just the thing to stimulate those teal, which are early migrants, to head down, or would it move out the teal that are here? Same thing for the doves. This is opening day of dove season. Will it move doves out, move doves in? What will be the residual effect? And what are you seeing? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 and your fishing or hunt of a lifetime. I got a few of those texting in. We'll share those when we come back. Also, a bad boy, the outdoor story that is going to make you sick to your stomach. It's probably one of the most repulsive reports I've done in reporting 35 years on this radio program. All that's still to come in the 6 to 7 hour. Hope you'll be with us for it. 504-260-1870 if you want to text us a message, question, or a comment. We'll be back to get to those fishing reports, all that stuff you and I just love to talk about every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. We do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.